I guess I could have just walked across here, couldn't I have? All right. Well, it definitely seems strange, even though we're used to this kind of ministry, you know, where we're here and then we leave, but it definitely is different. Even though the time was shorter compared to a normal tour in the Navy or with Marines, you know, of basically about 3 years, but you got just people coming and going throughout that time period. You know, this is very different, coming here for a year and you're all still here. That's weird. The same very beautiful faces. And so it is very different, and hopefully I've expressed enough in reference to us, even though, you know, I remember being asked right from the beginning, well, will it be hard to leave? I'm like, well, we're kind of used to it, but it won't be, but it will be. And definitely miss you all, the people, even the community, and the golf course. I've kind of grown to like it a little. It's worked out pretty well. But, you know, definitely, I think we, and we've talked about it, obviously, as a couple, and just said, we have enjoyed more fellowship here than when we were in Pahrump. But that was, you know, that was a different kind of phase for us, season for us. When I was at the prison, I was there every Sunday, so we couldn't go to worship together. And then kind of semi-retired till IPM called, you know, so we just weren't in Pahrump really that long to get totally established. So this has been wonderful. We will miss you all. I hope you know that. And we may be like Waldo every now and then, kind of just boop, reappear sort of thing, you know. But we also want to be obviously sensitive to Curtis, but I don't, you know, think that'll be a problem. You know, we've been making a lot of drives between Nevada and Nebraska, and you never can tell. But I do want to also mention, Carol Ann mentioned that Peyton is doing very well and actually will be moving from California to Phoenix to start a teaching job. So definite answer to prayer. So, yeah, you know, it's one thing to get better. It's one thing to be able to take that position and be able to move ahead, you know, sort of thing. So, well, today, if you looked at the email this morning, went out very early, and that's okay. And able to get lots of things done. But we're in Philippians chapter 3, verses 9 through 16, pressing on. But as we think about that, we think about the weekend and being Memorial Day weekend kind of thing, and you know, it's a time to remember. And it's a time to reflect.
And even as we look, at this passage, of what does that mean? What does that mean to us? You know, but one of the verses in John 15:13 that reminds us, greater love has no man than lay down his life for another. So we remember those who laid down their life, who didn't come home, from war, combat. Or maybe some other related sorts of things. When we think about that, and I don't know if you, some of you have done this, but when you look at some of the Revolutionary War, the Philippine, American War, eight different wars, a total of 1,215,937 American soldiers, sailors, Marines, airmen, probably coasties as well, have died from those eight wars. And I believe probably most of you know the Civil War was 625,000.
I mean a civil war.
World War II was 405, almost 406,000. So huge numbers. They dropped just because technology and different things, and medics and different things.
We remember this weekend that
and think about that.
As Christians,
it's like there's certain things we want to move on.
And yet there are certain things, biblically speaking, that we should never forget.
And one of those is something we do at the end of every service.
We take communion.
Because that's something we shouldn't forget.
And what Christ did for us.
In that same fashion of laying down his life
for us.
So as we think about that, and as we open
the passage in chapter 3, verse 9, tells us this. And he begins, and he says, "And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of the resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead." And that's kind of our introduction. Again, thinking about what was just stated, but for us, that should be our goal as individuals personally and as a church, to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, to participate in his sufferings, attaining to the resurrection of the dead. You know, as we think about that, 2 Peter 3:18 also tells us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that just should be our goal every day, to do that. Individually, as couples, as families, as a church family, to be able to do that. And hopefully as we do that, it continues. And the church welcomes, and I know you will, Curtis and his family for a long pastoral time, to embrace him, to encourage him, and even as you have done, I'll say for both of us, but more so me, allowed me to be me. I know I kind of have a wicked sense of humor. Some would say that's not appropriate for the pulpit. Well, IPM should have called somebody else. I don't know what to tell you. You know, it just is what it is. You know, and so again, I hope, as there will be differences, but we all have that same goal, to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, to participate in his sufferings, attaining to the resurrection of the dead. And we'll look at that even a little more as we move down and we look at Philippians chapter 3 and verses 12 to 14, what he tells us then. He says, "Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ." So what he's telling us, so the measure or the goal for us is right there, to press on. You know, not to become stagnant, not to say, "Oh, you know, let's look at the past." You know, not, it's something that wasn't obtained yet, like holiness. We just got done studying the whole series, however many weeks that was, I don't know, 17. Okay, we crunched it up right at the end. So maybe 15, 16 weeks of holiness. So you should be able to tell who attended that study because our halos just glow a little brighter. I wish. But he's telling us we haven't obtained this yet. You know, to press on, and like holiness, we press on because we haven't taken hold of it, the perfection. We haven't obtained that final stage of sanctification or spiritual maturity, which Philippians 1:6 reminds us, he who began a good work in us will complete it. But it's not done yet. But it doesn't mean we just give up and go, "Well, I'll just wait till he completes it. Why should I do anything?" Because that's what we're supposed to do. How do we do this? Again, as we studied through the study of holiness, but he tells us right here, he says, forget what's behind. Learn, but not dwell. I mean, there's things we have to remember. But when he says, forget what lies behind, what lies behind? Our sin nature. You know, it should be dead, it should be buried, it should be crucified, and that's what lies behind. And if we keep dwelling on that and or other things that maybe are not helping our spiritual growth or our maturity in Christ. He says, forget what's behind, and he compares it to like a runner not looking back, but looking forward. So we've probably all experienced things, maybe not necessarily in a running type of area, but maybe just not paying attention. You see some of those clips where people are on their phone and they're not paying attention and they end up in the fountain in the mall or something, you know? I mean, just some crazy stuff because people aren't focused and they're not paying attention. I remember one time as a junior high kid, it's hard to remember that far back, but I picked up a pizza from a well-known pizza place in Lincoln, Valentino's. So if you know anything about Nebraska, you might know about Valentino's Pizza. So I had it as a junior high kid, and even what I was doing from the get-go was stupid. Because I'm on my bicycle, I'm holding this pizza, you can't hold it, so you're just holding it down, so this thing's all just going downwards. I mean, just like this is going to, how's it, you know, kind of the Dr. Phil question, how's that working for you? Well, it's a little crunchy, you know, scrunchy and crunchy, you know? And so I'm riding my bicycle, and I will confess that this was before I was a Christian. Now you're saying, what does that have to do with riding a bike? Well, I got a little distracted by one of God's beautiful creations. That's all I'm saying. Before I knew it, my front tire hit the curb. I flipped, I rolled over, the pizza went everywhere, but I bounced up to try to look not cool at all. Pizza was ruined. Your pride was a little hurt, you know, and I wish I could say that's the only time something like that has happened. I wish, you know, and but, you know, things just happen. You know, working with sailors and Marines, and probably more so Marines because so many tours were with them, they'd say, Chaplain, come run with us. You know, as social as I am, I don't like running with people. I like to run alone. That's my time. You know, my headphones and my music, whatever. But I'll do it, and I found people I enjoy, but it's like, I don't want to do that. And like, especially if they're going running at night, I'm like, folks, you need to understand something. I have fallen down in perfectly good daylight. I mean, that's that fine line between faith and stupidity. Of going, oh yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Let's run at night. I remember one time, in Naples, Italy, I was probably 3.5 miles out. And, you know, you're looking around or whatever, but again, you hit something and you go down. I mean, I was, my elbows were bloody, my knees were bloody. I'm like, okay, I don't know who to call. You know, I don't even know where I was. You know, kind of thing. I go, well, I'm getting a good run in. I turned around. I go, I guess this is far enough, and ran back. But, you know, falling down. Why? If we don't keep focused. And God is telling us the same thing here, to be able to press on and forget what lies behind. Because if we don't stay focused, pushing forward, to strain forward what's ahead. He's telling us to work hard. It's not an easy task. Most of us, even if doctors or medical haven't labeled us as such, we all have spiritual attention deficit. You know, I won't go on the whole mental or anything like that. I won't, you know, I mean, obviously you can probably tell I get a little distracted at times. But so be it. But spiritually speaking, and he tells us this is why we need to stay focused. And if we don't, we're going to end up falling down. Strain toward what's ahead. Work hard at it. Hebrews 12:2, great verse, tells us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. That's kind of the bottom line. Focus not on the past or what was, but what God has for us, for the church, you know, for the future, especially. We can't spiritually play that what-if game. And if we dwell on that, it will stifle and it will hinder finding God's will and what God wants us for today and tomorrow. And so that's why he says push forward, strain toward what's ahead, work hard at it. You know, do that. You know, the real past is our sin nature. Just as 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, behold, the old has passed away, the new has become. Wow, we're not supposed to focus on the old. Spiritually speaking, but also in many ways humanly, to press on towards the goal to win the prize which God has called us heavenward in Jesus. Well, that ultimate goal is what? Is the culmination of our salvation, of God's in God's presence, and also receiving our rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10. At that point, it's not about our salvation, it's locked on. I hope you know that. I hope you realize that. So you can enjoy your personal relationship with Jesus Christ and say, now, man, he loves me so much, that's locked on. I cannot lose my salvation. That's not what it's about. It's about my sanctification, and it's about what I'm doing for his kingdom. You know, so when I get to heaven, I'm like, whew, just made it. You know, where's my rewards? Yeah, sorry, buddy. We got come over here for a minute. We probably need to have a little chat. No, we don't want it to be like that. Of course we don't. You know, being able to press on, and he tells us then, the mature, verse 15, hold on. And what he tells us here, and he says, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too, God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. And what is that? I mean, it's salvation, you know? And then day by day, our trust and our walk with the Lord is sanctification. But he's telling us the sign of maturity is to think this way. Let the past go. We can't dwell on it. You know, if we harbor things, if we hold on to certain things, humanly, spiritually, it just eats at us like a cancer. I mean, it'll just destroy us. And we need to be careful, and that's why he says we need to let go of the past and not dwell on it. Obviously, there's things we want to remember, things we need to remember, but there's also things we just need to let go. And that's what he's trying to tell us, and not dwell on as if, you know, and if we are, our thoughts go elsewhere and think otherwise. Ask God to reveal, hey, what do I need to be thinking about? What do you want me to do? Because, man, I'm just stuck in this rut of thinking of the what-ifs and woulda, coulda, shoulda moments and things in life that it's really keeping me from enjoying today and what God might have for me tomorrow and for this church. You know, if we hold on, he says, grab a hold of a firm grip true to what we have obtained. Man, just let me keep hugging that salvation in a sense. You know, just, wow, look what I have. Spiritually speaking, a righteousness, as he said in verses 9 to 10, which we read at the beginning, what have we obtained? To know him, our salvation, a righteousness that comes from faith, power of his resurrection and sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, dead to sin, and that's the ability to be dead to sin and alive in Christ in holiness. That's what we have obtained. To know him, our salvation, a righteousness that comes from our faith, and the power of his resurrection and sharing in his sufferings and becoming like him in his death and alive in him and holiness. We focus on those things. We kind of just don't have time to dwell on the things that just knock us off course or just keep us in that rut of some kind or another. And he tells us the only thing we should look back on is Christ's death and resurrection. When we think about it. And that's what we do when we take communion. That's the right thing. That's the good thing to remember. And I'm sure going through your heads and your heart right now, you can think of things like, things that just occupy our heads that like, oh, this thing is just killing me. It's eating me alive, just dwelling on, you know, maybe a family situation. Maybe a professional situation. Whatever it might be. I mean, we've shared enough as for us as a couple and a family, like, man, it's just easy to start dwelling on those things, and it just keeps you paralyzed from being able to enjoy the joy of the Lord, to do what we're supposed to do, you know, and we learn from the past but not dwell on it or wish for it because that paralyzes us, not to dwell or wish on things but moving forward, accepting the will of God. He says, obtain a new life in Christ and a new life in this church. And I hope in you, in us, all of us personally, that we're able to do that. We say, wow, look what we have. We have a new life in Christ. We have new life in this church. Hey, there's been some weird seasons. You know, of time, as Daniel even mentioned, in the last year and a half, like, whoa. You know, none of us never saw that coming, and yet here we are today. You know, I talked to somebody the other day out in town, and indicated that for different reasons, that person still listens to Steve. I go, well, God, you know, he said, well, are you going elsewhere? Nope, I'm still listening to Steve. I go, man, you need to get plugged in somewhere. You know, kind of thing. I mean, there's the fellowship, the interaction that we have as believers in Christ, and there were some other things going on, but it's like, I know you had a special relationship with this pastor, with Steve. That's good. But again, as we come to a passage like this, it says, hey, we need to press on, we need to move on. We need to kind of let go of the past to a certain degree and to a large degree, sometimes totally. You know? And so what we've obtained, the new life in Christ, but a new life in this church, I hope for you, for us. I mean, I know we've grown. I hope you all have grown in this last year. And I hear good things. You know, it's fun. I was a little scared because yesterday had to go do something and this person just almost wouldn't let me. I had to do a change of address. And Stacy hit them all. I looked everywhere in the post office. And all she would say was, nana, nana, boo, boo. I go, that's not right. You're a professional postal worker. She didn't do that. But I was going somewhere with that, but that rabbit just went left. Elvis just left the building. It will come back when I'm eating a piece of pie. And it may come back a little sooner, but again, as we look ahead and do that, and we move forward, you know, and that's important for what God has in store, you know, for First Christian Church under the pastoral leadership of Curtis and the elders, and. I would say that, you know, as we do that and we think about that, it didn't end, the life of the church didn't end when Steve left. It won't end when we drive off here today. Now, we're not driving very far. It's not like we couldn't wait to get away from you all. Okay. Should we tell them the truth? No. No. Speak the truth in love. Now, it just made sense. We didn't know how much we'd be packed up. We go, well, we're all packed up. No reason, we may as well get, you know, I mean, the house is all clean and yada, yada. Go. So we're only driving to Denver. Whew, that's the first leg of the journey. Whew, big trip. And we'll stay with our daughter, take advantage of that. And tomorrow morning we'll really kick it and move on and then be in beautiful downtown. Say it with me. Pahrump. And we will be there on Tuesday. Yes, if you can't remember, all you have to do is think of Christmas and the little drummer boy. I will play for you, pa-rump-a-pump-pump. Okay, and now that will never leave your thoughts or your head, and I'm sorry for that. I apologize, but I had to do it. But again, the life of the church didn't end when Steve left. Just was a new season. It was different. Doesn't mean it wasn't painful. Doesn't mean there wasn't sadness and sorrow and a flood of emotions, but the same thing is true. As we leave, it doesn't mean things end. We accomplish the mission. And he's actually Speak up louder. A handheld mic makes me want to sing more. Harry, don't worry. I won't. But again, let me try to get back to my point. I still didn't remember why I was talking about Stacy, but that's okay. All right. So again, the life of the church didn't end then. It doesn't end now. It continues. And man, we just can't wait to hear just continued phenomenal things, you know, in the life of the church and different things. But, you know, again, the congregation, everyone in this congregation as strains forward toward what's ahead, pressing on towards the goal that lies ahead, which is for some still to come and still to be determined. What's that going to look like? You know, but again, as you embrace, as you support Pastor Curtis and his family, as you did us, let him be himself as the man of God that God has made him to be. And it'll be exciting, you know. Again, we can't wait to continue to hear. And I know we'll keep in touch. And I'm not continuing the thought of the day. That ended today. Oh, that's okay. If you just read Blackaby, you'll see how much I plagiarize. But I always try to say, right from the get-go, and Blackaby mentioned, or however it might be. But again, it's necessary for us, sometimes humanly, but definitely spiritually, to let go of the past, to not dwell on it to the point that it paralyzes us from being able to move forward. I mean, that can just be a number of things in our life that just, man, just hits us right there and, you know, tries to distract us from keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, to be able to push ahead, press on, as individuals, as families, as a church family. Doesn't mean it's easy, but that's what we do. No matter what changes come about. And again, I appreciate being able to come as your interim pastor, or I won't mention who said this, or as was described one time, one Sunday, I think maybe at an elder meeting, so that limits it a little bit, and called me rent-a-pastor. Very appropriate. And my price just went up from then. But it's been an honor. It's been a privilege to do this. And as I said, it was scary for us, for me. It was a step of faith. Not coming to Ray. Obviously, we're pretty open to going anywhere. You know? And it was exciting. It's been exciting. Would have been nice without COVID. That would have made a little bit, okay, a whole lot better. But it still was good. It still was great. And to see what God has done and is doing and will continue to do in the life of the church. And I hear for the next several weeks, you have a phenomenal preacher coming. Is that right, Daniel? Amen. No, again, not every church is gifted with people that can step up to the plate that way. And it's okay because God gives us different gifts and things. But again, it's been an honor and a privilege to be able to proclaim the Word of God on Sundays through the Bible studies, just different times, just in conversations, through some counseling, just so many ways. But again, don't hold on to the past where it paralyzes you or the church from moving forward. Amen? Amen. Well, with that in mind, let us begin to prepare for communion.